It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy shit. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than spending eternity as a urinal. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on the Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I think I might have solved the echo issue. Last week it did not echo. So I got this new external mic, so I'm going to see if that's helping. But it might not fix your situation, because you echo regardless of what I do at your house. So I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see about that. I'm your host, Davin Roseblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be here momentarily. On the show! I've been wanting to get to this story for 2 weeks now. On the show, Fox News appears to get caught in many lies that could wind up costing them a lot of money. It's a very interesting story. Arkansas Governor Huckabee targets drag queens, even though she kind of looks like a drag queen.
No, you didn't.
What? Am I wrong?
No.
She's a handsome. She's a handsome woman, as they used to say. She's a.
No, she's not.
It was in the. Isn't that what they said? Like when somebody wasn't like beautiful, they called her a handsome woman.
Yes.
She's a handsome woman. That one. You know what though? I probably shouldn't. Was it like use slightly negative adjectives? I might be offending somebody. I wouldn't be offending the woke people because they'd be cheering for it. It could be the conservatives, but that would make them woke. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, she's going after drag queens. School of Fools and a test question about an imaginary person gets a real professor suspended. We'll talk about that. Joe's head is being cut off by the planet. I looked over and Joe's head was cut in half. I saw nothing inside.
Dreams can come true, huh?
What?
Dreams can come true.
Sure. A restaurant solved the problem of what to put on the kids' menu. By banning kids. Problem solved. Don't have to put chicken tendies on there. No kids. An outstanding display of spite and perhaps the longest in terms of actually being so peeved at somebody holding a grudge. This was an outstanding display. It almost made my love fails list. But looking at what we came up with for love fails, I'm glad I left it off the list, and instead we will all enjoy this instead of picking it apart and scamming scammers. Last week, fake Davin saved the relationship, took it back from the brink, but we will see for how long. All right, so Joe, you're actually with us in a timely manner. That's exciting. Did you work from home today?
Hi,
Pip, how you doing?
I'm okay,
little
how are you?
Little Dutch girl there.
All right, Joe, did you work from home today?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, Joe has a you stink, so that means he was out in the public. So since Joe's here, we'll start with his you stink.
You stink!
Who stinks now, Joe? Joe?
Did you play the stinger?
I did.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Okay. The you stink goes to my ex-wife, who still thinks that I'm at her beck and call. And basically a couple of weeks ago, she writes me and goes, I have to move from one storage unit to another storage unit. I have somebody to help me, but they don't have a license. Can I drive a U-Haul truck? And I'm like, well, number one, you're doing one of my jokes. I go, sure, you drove my van. You can drive the U-Haul truck. Oh, okay. So then she writes back. Now, she writes back all nasty. You know what? If your friend needed help and you moved her a couple of times, you move her right away. But me, you don't even care. And I said, you never asked me. You asked for my advice. And she goes, well, I have an affliction. And I go, I know that. And she goes, I broke my toe when I stubbed my toe on the bedpost. And I broke my middle toe. And I'm like, okay. Now, this is all the stuff that I used to have to deal with day in and day out, 365 days a year. And I'm like, and I go, you want to know something? I go, you are such a narcissist. I told her, I've had 6 years to think about our marriage. And I go, you are a narcissist. Nothing is ever your fault. Nothing is ever you to be blamed for. I go, you never asked for help. And I go, if you asked for help in the first place, I would have helped you. And I go, but you took the tact of being nasty. And I go, I don't have to. I go, I'm not obligated to you anymore. If I was still your husband, yeah, I'd have to move. I'd help your sister move. I'd help you, I'd help your parents. Because I like them and I'm obligated to them. I'm not obligated to you anymore. Number two, I go, you're asking me to move your stuff, which you should be my stuff. Okay? And I go, what I have to move is the couch. The couch that I said that I would buy from you when we were settling up our affairs. And then I had to come home and I had to go buy a couch because you wouldn't sell me the couch. Number two, I had to buy a coffee table, which I would have to move. That coffee table I had to replace and I lucked out because I matched the love seat from that set. And I go, no, I'm not helping you. And I felt bad anyway because I promised her dad, better times that I'd always look out for her. And sometimes I'll do the right thing. If she asked me, could you help me? I would have done it because in my eyes, it's the right thing to do. If you don't ask me and ask me for half-ass advice and then chastise me and she goes, I blame you because we didn't have children. And I go, because I couldn't trust you to raise them. You couldn't keep houseplants alive. You got to keep my kids alive. So I laid into her. So she calls me, and it was the last time I heard from her, a week or so ago. I'm in the band, Fragile Sky, we rehearsed in a studio in Astoria. Nice studios, it's impossible to park. Parking takes at least 15 to 20 minutes. So I dump my gear off. I'm in the car. I have to get back to the studio. I got to set my stuff up. I don't know where the hell I can find a place to park. And the phone rings, and I thought it might be somebody. And now I pick it up, and it's her. Joseph, we need to – I'm in the middle of something. Just click. And that was the last time I heard from her.
All right, a couple things to unpack here. First of all, Joe, as far as narcissists are concerned, not marriage material, which is bad for his ex, but possibly presidential material. So perhaps if she makes a run for office, Joe will be on board.
Yes. Now, the funny thing is, Davin and I were working in Scranton. I know we're bragging. We were working in Scranton 2 weeks ago. It was a good gig. But I come in and I start telling him a story. And he goes, you're pissed off. I go, I'm fucking living. He goes, this is like the old days. I go, because it is the old days.
And I said, yeah. I said you had a very good set because you were so angry.
And the relaxing thing about it, the only good thing that came out of it is I didn't have to go home and deal with it when I got home.
I got home quiet.
It's peaceful. I don't know. It's weird when you get removed from a situation. I don't know how I did it for 24 years, being in a relationship.
I know how you did it. First of all, you're never home, so that makes it easier. Yeah. That's one. And second of all, you realize you're impossible to live with, too. So you coexist.
I know. But the interesting thing was is that, I, you know, like I said, I had 6 years to really think about what happened. And she goes, we should have never got married. And I go, you know what? When you dragged me to service merchandise to get a wedding ring, I go, I should have called it a day right there. And I didn't. You know, that's when I should have called it a day. Because I've thought about everything. And I'm like, yep, that was the day when you brought me there. Should have called it a day. I originally should have called it a day when we were dating for about 4 months and I'm working on the house. And you come over and you go, I can't see you anymore because you're not giving me enough time. And I did tell her. I go, well, get, see you. Nice knowing you, scram. You know, so, but you came back that time. But the one day when it was 1994, and she goes, I'm sick of waiting around. I want a wedding ring right now. I said, "Please, so we go to service merchandise. I'm dragged out of service merchandise. And I walk in and we're looking at rings and I go, we're going home. I can't do this. Well, what are you going to, I go, when the house gets done. Well, when is the house going to get done? 1996. And then I, you know, I proposed a couple of months later. But that day should have said, get out, get your shit, get out of my house.
I got to tell you, in your retelling of the stories, it makes it seem like she should have dodged the bullet.
It does seem like there were opportunities missed by both of you to get the hell out of Dodge.
I mean, let's think about this. She wants to spend more time with you, and Joe's like, how dare you? I have... What is wrong with you, woman?
I was wrong. No. But you want to know something? In the relationship, I will say, I fucked up. I did this. I was wrong. That's my fault. This is that. That is this. This is that. That is that. You know, no. And I talked to her about, you know, things that relationships besides ours, that she had a long friend for a long time, almost like 20 years before, you know, when we just met, they got in a big fight and they no longer were talking about that. And I mentioned that to her and she goes, well, that was my mother. And I go, how was your, I go, your mother was friends with her for 20 years? Well, that was my mother telling me that. I go, you don't listen. I go, you were in your 30s when you don't tell, you know, you're still listening on your mother's day. And I go, and you're not accepting blame for that. You're going to blame that whole thing with your friend on your mother, but your things your mother told you, like you were 13 years old. You were 30 years old at the time, you know? And I go, that's a narcissist. I go, once again, you're a narcissist. You know, nothing's ever your fault.
Yeah, but you like narcissists. First of all, a lot of people we know are narcissists. One of your closest friends is a narcissist. The guy you adore as a president is a narcissist. Since when are you anti-narcissist?
When I have to marry him.
Oh, please. If Donald Trump says, Joe, I want to whisk you down to Mar-a-Lago. We're not going to take you to service merchandise. I know an old Hasidic Jew in the Diamond District. I'm gonna put the biggest ring on your finger. I just want you to make me the happiest man in all of Florida. You say that. You would say I do.
No, I would not. If I had to go home to the both of them, no.
No, not the both of them. Just Donald Trump. She's gone already.
No, because I got to hear his stuff. I got him late for the gig. Big Macs. I don't know, on a Big Mac. We had Big Macs all week. Can't you call that help and whisk up a fucking steak or some chicken or something like that?
You know, Joe, I had ice cream waiting for you. I had my two scoops. You had one scoop. You're never happy. Always want what I have.
Then go to Davin. He's obsessed with you.
What?
Then go to Davin. He's obsessed with you.
I'm not obsessed at all. I didn't spend years defending the guy. I'm happy he's not around.
Yeah. Oh, you love him. Every chance you get, you bring Donald Trump into every conversation you can.
Because he's a narcissist. But you brought up narcissists. He's the biggest narcissist going. And you say, I can't stand narcissists. And you adored the dude. And your best friend, one of your best friends is a narcissist. And many people in our line of work are narcissists.
Yeah, but they ain't waiting for me at home.
No, yeah. that's true. I mean, that can't be her biggest downfall, the fact that she was a narcissist. It's certainly not a plus.
You want to know something? I didn't really know the full definition of a narcissist till about 2 years ago. I was on Facebook or whatever I was on, and somebody writes, what's a narcissist? And they have all the bullet points of a narcissist. I'm like, holy shit, that's my ex-wife. Almost everyone. No shit, no kidding.
Wow.
And then, you know, and like I said, I had, because you want to know something, I'm not really a quitter. The only thing I ever really quit and walked away from was football when I was in high school, because it was just, what's the point, you know? But what I did, but you know, everything, I always try to figure it out, get it done, but, and the it just got to the point with the marriage where it had to end, and I was somebody that when people got divorced, I couldn't put my head around that. How do people get divorced? You're living together, you're this, you're that. And then when it started happening to me in 2011, you know, I'm like, holy cow, yeah, it does happen.
Here's why you guys got divorced. And I got no dog in the race. Neither one of you guys was willing to put any effort into the relationship. You lived separate lives, and you were happy doing that, and then those separate lives started to collide and get contentious. But it wasn't like you guys wanted to spend time together, talk things out, have a meal together, you know, do normal human things. You guys, you had separate, and you went in with the idea, listen, I'm focused on my band. I gotta get this house and the job and then the comedy and everything. So though she has many faults, and I know you're not saying you don't have faults, but I don't think the narcissism was the reason. You, marriage was inconvenient for you at the time. Now, current you, I think, would look at things differently. I think you, in the past several years, you've evolved emotionally where you... No, I think so.
You're an animal. You're a fucking piece of shit, yeah.
No, the way you're talking, it seems like you've evolved emotionally. If there was somebody, you know, that was available in your life, you might make more time for them, which is what's neat.
And you want to know something? You're absolutely right on all points, and that's why I said that one day. And you're absolutely correct. I was renovating a house. The band was going for a record deal. Comedy, I was not doing. I had to step away from comedy from '92 to '97.
We call those the golden years.
And funny, we're waiting on that one. There's a Christmas present for you. But anyway,
I don't want. Oh, does that mean you're going to have to come by and deliver it? Ugh.
Yeah. But I go, but that was the thing, you know. I was going, and I did tell her, I'm going back to doing stand up. The band, I'm going, still going for a record deal, and you'll have to deal with it. It's a concession. But the thing about it is, with all that going on, I didn't really have time to have a regular relationship. Go to the movies, or you know, well, we did that, but still, you know, having dinner every night, and that's on me, because basically, I was raised as an only child. I ate alone every night. It was so bad when I was working at the fence company. The guys go, "What's the matter, you guys? You're too good to eat with us." I go, "No, I'm used to eating alone."
Yeah,
I go, "It has nothing to do with you guys. I'm just used to eating alone." So what they did was they saws all my table in half and threw it in the dumpster. So I had to sit with them. So I'm sitting there. And I'm reading the paper, and I'm not paying attention to them. And go, "Are you gonna say anything?" No, I told you, asshole. I don't. I'm set in my ways.
Yeah. So again, though she's a narcissist, according to what you say, I don't know if that was the biggest problem in the relationship. Like, let's say she was a narcissist, but you were normal, or closer to normal.
Right.
There could have been a conversation. Go, "Listen, you got to take some responsibility. I'm trying over here. I don't like what you're doing." Like, you could have possibly had that conversation, and then you guys might have come to a resolution sooner or split up sooner. But you were so not interested in the relationship, and she, it seems, was not interested in the relationship, although I don't know. I just don't think narcissism was the problem. I think, you listen, narcissism is a great defense if you're with somebody who's not involved in the relationship.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something? It was always like, what my marriage wasn't, and what marriage has to be, is a team. You got to work as a team.
Absolutely.
Perfect two examples are you two. You know, it's you and your wife, Davin. You always tell a story. You know, and then my wife, you know, she was going to do this, and I was going to do that. It's a team. Pip, you and Mr. Hillis, well, you know, Mr. Hillis was going to do this. Tammy, who I'm writing The Way to the World with, her and her husband, Brian, they've gone through a lot of things, but they've always gone through it as a team. I never went through that. I went through it with me and my adversary, you know?
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think you couldn't have a teammate for most of your life. I think now there is actually potential where you could have a teammate.
Yeah, I could. I could. But you know what the problem is on my end? I'm so stuck in my ways. You know, I'm going to be 61 next month. And I'm just so stuck in my ways where I've been living alone. And you know what the thing about, like I said, I live alone. There's nobody here. I come home alone, alone. I was so conditioned to it as a kid that it's just another day in the life for me. It's not like I was brought up with family. I had brothers and sisters, and I don't like being alone. I've been alone since I was 12.
Well, that's a big reason why your fairly unique romantic situation works for you all these years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you don't get lonely because you're used to being alone.
Well, he gets lonely. No, hold on. He has said at times he does get lonely.
I do get lonely. No, you do. I'm not totally an ogre. I do get lonely.
Well, slow down. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. I say you are totally an ogre, but you do get lonely. Even Shrek got lonely.
You know, the one thing that has helped me, the one thing that has hindered me is, like, you know, if we do a bit and I go into a character, you know, and blah, you know, and all this stuff, that stuff is self-defense mechanisms. When I was a kid, I make up these characters to keep me company. General Bulldog McIvey was a character from my childhood. Matter of fact, when I was doing the character, well, what do you want to be? I'll be General Bulldog McIvey. He even said when we were doing this bit, I go, boy, I dredged this up from when I was in elementary school. You know, I had Maude Harrell, the hairdresser. I forgot who. Jock Beach, the athletic guy that likes to hang out and swim. You know, I had all these guys, you know, and those, you know, just.
See, Joe, you're so lucky. You have this tortured childhood that as a comedian, and tortured marriage, and that as a comedian, you could really draw on. That's what all the big acts do. That's what you should be doing. I don't have that tortured childhood. I can't draw on that shit. So I got to go with the weak-ass material I have.
You have to have a dark side somewhere.
I don't. I'll give you an example. I will give you an example of how weird things are. You know me. And you know my wife, and my daughter and her friends were talking, and apparently we are the normal parents. So there.
Wow.
Okay. But every comic I know, with the exception of you, has got some sort of a dark side. You know.
You know what? What was my dark side? I was raised by Orthodox Jews, and I was ashamed of being Jewish at the time. And I couldn't go out and do things. I mean, that was a set. Listen, did I get hit as a kid? Yeah, but not beaten, and not all the time. I mean, you know.
I went to your school. All right.
What'd you say?
I wish I went to your school.
No, it wasn't in school. It was at home by my dad. But not all the time. And I didn't live in.
Hold on. Your dad used to beat you?
No, I wouldn't say he beat me. I would get smacked on the ass. I got my mouth washed out with soap.
Oh, for saying the things you say?
No, I don't know. For just being disrespectful. I was, you know, I look back now, and I was disrespectful. Now, listen, there was a lot of problems, but I was, like, I'll give you an example of how disrespectful I was. And looking back now, I go, wow, what a stupid asshole. So I don't know what the situation would be. But my dad was self-employed. He had a partner, CPA, and I did not respect the hard work that he was doing. He was the sole breadwinner back when you could be a sole breadwinner.
Yeah.
And I would say things that were not appreciative and respectful of that, which now when I look at it now as an adult, I go, wow, what an asshole. The guy was doing the best he could, went out on his own shingle, didn't work for, you know, a big CPA firm or something, and I'm out there being an asshole. Imagine coming home and having to listen to that from your kid. So, yeah. But that's not...
Do you ever apologize to your dad?
You know, it doesn't really come up. I'm a good son now. To him, my mother would probably say I'm not a good son, but my mother's much more demanding. My mother wants to talk every day, sometimes several times a day, which I can't do. And we had a big falling out, and I think my wife said something to her where it got through, where now we talk once a week. Like, if I haven't spoken to her by Sunday, I'll pick up the phone. Not that I have anything to say, because I really don't. You know?
Yeah, but I can tell you, I could tell you, you're
going to
miss that call one day.
I don't know if I'll miss that call. But no, here's why I won't. I understand why people say that, and I did talk about this in my act when I was where I was getting that stuff together for Fallon. Here's the issue, and it's not like I have trauma, but she's a worrier, so I can't tell her things that I'm doing because no matter what it is, she will find something to worry about. Whereas I'm not saying I'm brave by any stretch of the imagination, but I generally live my life and do what I want to do. And, you know, I don't live in fear. I'm also a relatively optimistic person, you know, which is amazing considering I'm a Jets fan. and a Nets fan. So, yeah. But I am different than my parents. That's what it is. I am different than my parents. I am somewhere in between them. And even my wife was saying, you know, even compared to the comics we know, I've always been the normal comic. I can hold down a relationship. I can conduct business. You know, I've never done a drug, which I talked about for the first time in my act this past Saturday. I actually wrote a joke and a bit about never doing drugs. It was just something I never talked about. Basically, what it is, you know, I never done drugs. Not that I'm better than anybody, but I see how powerful addiction is. And I give the example, you know, I have friends that before they go on like a 5-hour flight, they will take like a joint and they will stick it underneath their ball sack or in the crack of their ass. So it doesn't get caught, it doesn't set off like security and everything. And then when they land, they will dig under their ball sack and take that joint out and smoke it. You what? No, they are literally doing ass to mouth on themselves because they are addicted. Now here's the thing. I like Doritos. I like Doritos a lot. I have never stuck a Dorito underneath my ball sack and 5 hours later taken it out and go, Cool Ranch? See?
You don't know what you're missing.
So that is the joke. I think it's a pretty good joke.
Yeah.
Good. I would go nacho cheese at the end, but that's you.
Yeah, that's a little disgusting, nacho cheese. Because then you start thinking of the cheesy stuff down there. I don't want it to be that gross. But anyway.
Yeah. But, hey, look, one of the things with your mom worries, I think it's the only, being an only child, because I'm like, you know, I have my half-brother, but I was raised, you know, I was the only child. And I think about, the Boy Scout troop that I was in was going on a canoe trip down by the Delaware Water Gap. Everybody was going. Everybody. All my friends were in that troop. I couldn't go because my mother was worried. And there were certain things when you grow up and you go, I don't blame her for that. I would have done that. I love my mother to death. The woman's been gone 31 years. I still have a grudge with her about that.
Well, I think only child is definitely a part of it. There's definitely an element of that too. But she also suffered trauma in her life. A good
deal. Because that's all I had. All that was left was me. You know. So
listen, my mom suffered a lot of trauma. My dad is German, and Germans are not the most emotional people. I was like talking to my cousin the other day. I don't know what the hell what he said. I'm like that. I go, what's wrong with you? He goes, what? He's like, what? We're Rosenblatts. That's weird. I'm like, I'm not like that. Like, I'm much more empathetic and sympathetic, and I love my cousin. But like, he's way colder than I am. So I'm just wired. I've always been wired differently from my family, which works out for my wife and kid, apparently. But
Germans have like weird traditions.
Yes, including loading Jews into ovens. I'm aware. Thank you.
but my nephew's girlfriend, very sweet woman, very brilliant woman, German, and at a funeral, it is German tradition to take photos at the funeral.
Really?
My buddy that I work with was telling me the same thing. So when my sister-in-law passed away, we're at the wake, and she's taking photos, and I'm like, do you want to get me one by the casket? You know, it's like, so very weird, but you look at that and go, what the f-? But that's your tradition, you know?
I am not familiar. I've never seen that at any of our funerals, but okay, I'll take your word for it. Then again,
was a German thing. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah, then again, her family is probably on the losing side of the war, so it could be a little different German heritage. I think you're evolving now that you have all that alone time. You have quiet time, and you can reflect on things where you've always run a million miles a minute, but then when you got home, you were so consumed by fury because you looked at your wife at the time, and she just set up a whole other ball of anger. Now when you go home, it's quiet.
And you know what the funny thing is, you both know me for years. I've run from one thing to the other. I run from the show, I run to rehearsal, I run to a writing.
Here's the problem with you running from one thing to the other. It ruined our pilot.
Did you finally speak to him?
No, I haven't spoken to him since
that's right, where people go, this can't be true. This was the weed lady. Yeah, right.
There were so many times Joe and I would be on one side of the argument, go, no, this is how it has to be. And everybody's like, no, nobody would believe that. He can't be a comic and a musician and this and that and the other. I go, I know, but here he is.
Yeah.
Pips, do you remember at the table read? When that woman goes, my God, his friends made it, and he hasn't, and he's working at a plumbing company? That's so sad. Lady, I'm right here. It's not that bad. Okay?
It's like, lady, I can hear you.
Come on. It'll be okay.
I do remember.
But...
God, that's terrible when people are, like, looking at your real life and going, oh!
It's a hard thing. It's not that bad. Yeah, it is, but it's not that bad. We're trying to ham it up for TV, lady, all right?
No, but that was a big thing. That was a big critique of the pilot. It was unrealistic. Well, but here it is. What do you want me to tell you?
But it's the truth!
Okay, but you know, getting back to the whole thing is, you know, I think about everything I run to, and you know, I got to run to this, I got to run to that, I got to run to this. My thing is, what am I running from?
Exactly.
I have to ask myself that question. You know, what am I running from?
You're more evolved now. I could see you if you found a person who was damaged. I could see you in a happy relationship. I could see that.
I'm a lot more. Well, am I mellow? I don't know. I'll put it to you this way. I'm out of a toxic relationship, and with that toxicity gone, I'm more relaxed. I'm happy. That's the one thing where my ex-wife is trying to, you know, she thinks I'm miserable. The last time I was this happy was back in 1992. I just got over this one girl breaking up with me, and I started to get back on track again. And it was the period between January of 92 and August of 92 when my mother passed away, when things started to get better, and I was happy. I haven't been that happy. That's 31 years ago. That was the last time I was the happiest I've been the way I've been now. You know, in the past 6 years, I've been happy. I've been content. You know, I don't have that. And I gotta tell you something. When I was going through that, I might have mentioned it to Davin off the air, or maybe I mentioned it to you guys a couple of weeks ago. But when we were doing the iHeart clips, when I had to do the iHeart clips going into 2011. I'm listening to me on the show, and I didn't know who that person was. And once again, I have to apologize to the both of you because you didn't know who the hell was coming down those stairs.
No, we had an idea who was coming down the stairs.
Usually, you guys had to go through that.
Usually that person coming down the stairs would knock into something, go, God damn it, go, oh, Joe's here.
I was telling Adam and I were chatting. We've been working the past couple of weekends, and you know, we talked about this and that. But that, you know, and we're talking about going through stuff. And I go, yeah, I listened when I first listened to those to the tape. I had to do the clips, and I listened. It scared the shit out of me because I thought there was somebody running the show, and it wasn't me. You know, figuring myself, not the show, but running everything, and it wasn't me. And I'm listening to me, and I'm like, I was right. This was not me. This was somebody else. I don't know who that was, but it was scary. You know, I helped nobody. I really, I hope that nobody ever has to go through that because it's horrible.
Ah, the miracle of podcasting, getting to hear yourself from various periods of time.
Oh yeah. Gosh, yeah.
Wow, man, yeah, that was, and like you know, like I said, I can't apologize to you guys enough because that was not me, and I don't know who that was, but whoever that was running the show. Whoever that was thought it was great to smoke Marlboro Black 100s. Whatever it was, thought it was great to go to Jersey and hang out at a bar on a Sunday afternoon, and then buy that person there a watch. You know, I mean, you got to be kidding me. I look back and I'm like, holy shit! And you know what? I was in my mid-50s, and you think by that age you have it all figured out? I got it all figured out, and you realize you don't have a goddamn thing figured out at that age. You know, and it, yeah. Do not want to go through that again. That's half the reason why I hide in my house when I can, because I do not want to. I never want to be in that situation again. Yeah, it's awful.
All right, I have a you stink that's not nearly as heavy.
You stink.
So you guys have been to my house, Joe, once, Pip, more than once.
Yeah.
I have a large driveway. I have a very, very large driveway.
Oh, my God. Yes, you do.
I live in the Northeast. I don't want to live in the Northeast. What happens in the Northeast? It snows.
Snows.
I had a snowblower. That thing never worked. So I got this used snowblower from the guy who used to fix the other snowblower. So it had been working. We had a light snow several months ago, nothing major, but we took out the snowblower, and now the snowblower is garage kept. It used to be in a cold shed or sometimes outside. Now it's living the good life. It no longer has mice making it. It's like condominium. It's living the. It's living.
The lawnmower to keep it company. It's a rake. You know,
it's downright spacious where it is. Yeah. It's hanging out with cars. Yeah.
There are people out there that wish they lived where the fucking snowblower lives.
Exactly.
Oh my God! Our feral cat wishes it lived where your snowblower lives.
And I have, I have an excellent garage. This snow thrower or blower is non-appreciative. So we had a light snow several months ago. It all wound up melting, but we still had a shovel. Put on the snowblower. It was working, but there's a tube where the snow gets sucked in and comes out, and it was getting
the chute.
It was getting compacted, so we couldn't use it for that. Got to let the snow melt. You got to put like silicone or something in there.
Hey, WD-40. You put WD-40 on there.
Whatever the hell it is, and it's been nice and mild. Well, last night we get what, like 6 inches of snow, something like that up here.
Is that what you got there? We got.
Yeah.
I got like 3 inches out here. How about you, Pip? You get a lot.
About 6 inches, and I wouldn't be bragging,
how many
Joe.
Nights in a row. Oh, sorry.
So we get usually the wife does the snow blowing. I've never used a snow blower, and I'll do the shoveling just to get the shit done.
Can I stop you for 1 second? That's a team. She's out there with you, okay? When I had stuff like that inside, maybe she'll stick her head out, maybe after an hour and a half. You want coffee? All right, I gotta make it. Yeah, so all right, sorry about that.
That's all right. So so I just hear it won't turn over. She's got it plugged in. It won't turn over. What the hell's wrong with this? I'm already out there shoveling. What the hell's wrong with this? So now I trudge through the snow. What the hell's wrong with this? I can't get it to turn over. Nothing's going wrong. Nothing's going right. Then after a little bit, I do something which shows my mechanical expertise, which I am known for. I turned the key, and then I pressed the starter, and it started right up.
Holy crap! Oh no! Isn't it terrible? You don't use something for a while, and you forget how it works.
I go there. Why didn't you turn the key? No, I did turn the key. Well, now the key's in this position, which is not the position I found it in, and it started right up. Good. Problem solved. She can use the snowblower, I will shovel. But nay, problem not solved. It doesn't do anything because the chute gets compacted again. Even after the silicone, which the wife had just put on there. So now,
are you aiming to shoot the right way? Are you aiming to
yes?
So it doesn't. Right.
Yes.
Well, it was a very heavy snow.
You know what?
We sound like Eskimos that have all those words for different kinds of snow. We know the types of snow.
That's what the guy who repaired it said. You know, first of all, did you lube it? Well, it was a very wet snow. Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing about snow. It's always wet. Why? Because it's made from water. That's the whole thing with snow. And
water, too. Yeah.
Like, oh no. Wow, there's a lot of really heavy snow. Well, I wouldn't want to burden the snowblower with this. I'll just risk a heart attack so it can be nice and snuggly and warm and hang out in the garage because it seems like a heavy lift for the goddamn snowblower. Are you kidding me?
It's a snowblower, not a snow clogger. It says it's on the fucking machine.
Let me tell you something. There were two things in this equation, me and the snowblower. Only one of them can have things that are clogged, and I guarantee you it's this guy right here. So it needs to do what it needs to do. It does not. So
Lisa just said, cue the Benny Hill music.
Seriously. So the wife has been very busy. She's going away at the end of the week. She's going down to Florida to spend time with her sisters and her mother. So she's been like, my wife has been slammed with work. So my wife did about 20 minutes of shoveling. I spent the next 3 hours shoveling that bitch by myself. My snowblower is named Jetsy. Why is it named Jetsy? Because it's just like the New York Jets. Because I'll tell you what, when we test it out in the summer, it runs beautifully. It's warm. Then it's loud. It does all the things a snowblower would be. To the untrained eye, I go, that's a good-looking snowblower. It's working well. Yet when it gets cold and there's a job to do, Jetsy never runs. Never works. Jetsy always fails. And like a true Jet fan and fan of Jetsy, every time I go to myself, this is going to be the time. This is going to be the time. It's all going to pay off, and I'm not going to be disappointed. And every time, it stops running, and I'm disappointed.
And the thing about it is that snowblower is like a Jet quarterback. You trade for something better, and it turns out to be worse.
It is better than the other one, because this has worked on occasion. But yeah, your point is taken. So, yeah.
The thing about your driveway is that, you know, like when you try, like when you're shoveling snow, you're like, all right, I can get to this point here in 20 minutes. I'll take a break. But if you're by your garage door, you can't see the end of your driveway. So you might be, you know, from looking there, you might as well be shoveling to the horizon.
Oh yeah, you can't see. No, because it's around the corner. It curves. And then when you do see a straightaway, you're like, God damn, that's a lot. And then when you finally tackle that, you're like, oh god damn it, the snowplow plugged me in. And now it's even a heavier, wetter type of snow that I have to lift.
Well, this is what you gotta do when you shovel. You gotta go out, you gotta shovel one straight line to the end of the driveway, and then you shovel the front. And you shovel that up, and you clear 3 feet. You're looking out to the street. You clear 3 feet to the left, and you make sure that whole portion in front of the driveway is cleared out. So when the plow comes by, it plows. If there's nothing to plow in front of your driveway,
well, I can't plow 3 feet to the left because I have what I've heard called a flag property. So our driveways by the street are very close.
Oh yeah, right.
But then you go down that long, windy driveway, and there's a half acre of property to deal with.
Yes. Yeah. When, you know, it was really funny because when Mr. Helix and I were driving up last week, he had never been to Davin's before. Or he had been once, but he didn't really remember it.
I don't think he's ever been to this house.
No, he's never been to the new house. So we're driving along, and I'm making commentary, like, because when I speak to him on the phone when I leave Davin's, and I talk a little bit on the way home, and I was like, this is the place where I'm always saying, hold on a second, I'm at this dangerous curve. Hold on a second.
And that's just the driveway.
Well, and so it was really funny because we're driving down the street, and he goes, because I didn't stop, because, honey, we've run out of room. We've run out of street. And I start up the driveway. It's like, not sure if it's okay that I'm driving down.
Yeah, it's like pulling into the Batcave.
It is! It you know, but the first time, because you had told stories about when it was snowing and the house was yours, but you weren't in it yet, and when your wife broke herself on the icy driveway, I'm trying to picture what the driveway looks like, and the first time I got there, I was like, oh, damn, that's a lot of driveway. And we have a short-ish driveway, and we will shovel the little teeniest bit, but we don't have a snowblower right now, so we'll, like, hire somebody to do most of the driveway, especially if it's a big snow, and the front walk, and, like, we're done.
Well, here's what my mom did. Yes, this is a true story. My mom calls me up, and I'm up to my ass with shit the past several days. She calls me. I don't really have time. Me and your father were talking, and we want to buy you a second snowblower. I didn't know the other. I didn't know Jetsy was not going to participate. By the way, at this point, why do I need a second snowblower? Well, you're 48 years old, and something can happen. I'm like, I don't need a second snowblower, but that's how much she worries.
Yeah, really, you should have taken it.
I was thinking of getting a snowblower this year. I'm kind of glad I didn't. But the problem with my driveway when I moved into my house in June. And the woman I bought the house from had this big container of salt, and it's like this big garbage pail of salt. And Joe's girl and I are laughing our asses off. Like, look at this big pail. When the hell? Why does she need this big pail of salt? And I found out the sun in the winter never hits the front of my house. Never, ever, ever.
Oh wow!
Hits the front of my house, so nothing melts. And my driveway is a sheet of ice.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as good as I try to, I didn't have time to shovel it this morning. I had to get to the day program. And I'm like, you know what? Just as well, I'll just leave the snow there till it rains. Because if I shovel it, it's going to break my ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I'll just leave the snow there until the spring. That's our way.
It's warm this week or rain or some shit like that. So I'll just leave it.
Well, yeah. so now I talked to the snowblower guy. He goes, well, it's a heavy snow. He's like, what am I doing? Yeah. So I'm like, so he's like, well, you know, try it again. I'm like, this was the time we tried it again. So I'm going to wait for hopefully the chute to clear. And then I guess I'm going to try again because my wife's like, let's just get a new one. But meanwhile, I might need a new car by August. I told you that, right? I told you that last week, Pip. Yeah, the catalytic converter. So, I mean, a snowblower is going to be, what, $1,500?
Probably.
You got to get a good one because you got a long driveway. So don't get a ham and egg one. You know, make sure you get a good one.
Here's the problem. Yeah. I have a long driveway, but it's not long enough where I could justify getting a quad and putting a plow on it. But it's long enough where you need a good snowblower or two.
Oh yes, you could.
Yeah.
How cool is that? You're only getting older. Get one of those things. When you're done with it, when you're moving down south, sell it.
If I'm moving down south, I can enjoy it.
What do you mean?
I don't need it.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't
know. Get that thing. Go out there. Get it done.
So right now,
I still lived in my old house. I'd get one because basically it was about 7 years ago. We had a blizzard, and I was out there for about 6.5 hours. And I go back in the house when I get done. And the ex-wife is like, are you done? And I go, yeah, but I don't know how many years I could do this. I mean, my driveway here is a lot shorter, so even in the worst snow, I'm done in an hour and a half. You know?
Well, right now, everybody will be happy to know that Jetsy is back in the back of the garage with the two cars, snuggling nice and warmly, snug as a bug, had a nice restful day, and we're just waiting for Jetsy to decide to melt that chute, and I guess I'll try on my lawn or something. I don't know what that is. Well, it's not supposed to be a crapshoot when it snows whether the snowblower's going to show up. Other people's snowblowers are working.
But can't you take a stick and just clean out the snow?
That's what he said. He's like, yeah, that's why I carry around the stick with me. What's the point if the thing is constantly getting jammed?
I understand. You clean the thing out, okay? What you do is you take WD-40 and you let it sit there overnight.
Well, hold on. Do you think that was the problem? Because my wife did the WD-40 right before she used it.
Yeah.
Well, it could happen. Maybe you let it sit overnight and get a chance to spread over everything.
I think how dense this particular snow was. Because there are, I know all snow is wet, but some is wetter than others.
You know what?
Yep.
This is like when you make a woman too wet. Oh no, it's too much. That's the point, stupid. That's why we're here.
It's never too much.
Well, no, but sometimes it gets like a slip and slide, and you know, whatever. All right. So that's that. That's that. Let's take our first break. When we come back, I've been wanting to talk about this story for a couple of weeks. The Fox News story. With the evidence, with the text, with the interviews, with the depositions, they say, we don't really believe what we told you guys. We don't believe it, but you should. So we're gonna talk about that. We got an outstanding display of spite. Joe really took very personally this week's the story he did for his blog about the restaurant that's not serving kids 10 and under named Nettie's. I think Joe got triggered by the name. Such passion over this topic in his blog. I definitely recommend you you read it. And, you know, we're coming after the drag queens. Last week, Pip and I were on the anti-drag queen side. We'll see how we come down this week. So, but on the break, we got, who do we got here? We got Nia McKinney with Up and Ran. And you can learn more about Nia McKinney at fluttertone.com. And we also have L. Damien and DJ Combo with Dust Till Dawn. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de.